This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The White House says President Trump and Russia's Vladimir Putin are speaking as the two look to get Russia to sign off on a plan to end the war in Ukraine. The call comes after Ukrainian officials last week agreed to a 30-day ceasefire proposal. ABC's James Longman has the latest from Kyiv.
As far as objectives go, the United States clearly will want the Kremlin to agree to this ceasefire. As far as Russia goes, well, it could be argued that they've already got at least one of their objectives, which is to be taken seriously, to be accepted into the international fold, to have relations with the United States normalized.
The Israel-Hamas ceasefire shattered overnight as Israel carried out numerous airstrikes over Gaza. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry says more than 400 people were killed. Pope Francis, in a letter published today, says his lengthy illness has made him more lucid on the absurdity of war, his top deputy also shooting down suggestions, any kind of a papal resignation. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm Jimmy Cuska for 1490 WLCX. Senator Tammy Baldwin kicked off her hands-off Medicaid tour in La Crosse on Monday. Baldwin is using the tour to hear from people directly affected by potential federal budget cuts to Medicaid. During the stop, Baldwin highlighted the programs covered by Medicaid and disputed the federal government's claim that the proposed cuts to Medicaid are intended to eliminate fraud. Baldwin called that claim misinformation and said that Medicaid is helping families avoid additional medical debt. The DPI is offering a tracker to see how federal spending cuts are affecting local school districts. With more, here's Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz.
The page provides real-time updates, critical information, and resources related to federal funding for public schools and libraries across Wisconsin. Available tools also include real-time updates on current funding cuts at the federal level and an interactive map to view data specific to your school district. Resources also include personalized flyers that highlight the effects of federal funding for each district.
You can see the tracker at dpi.wi.gov. You can vote in person absentee at City Hall today and Thursday from 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. and Saturday from 9 a.m. until noon. There are other locations open this week for absentee voting available at the City of La Crosse website. In-person absentee voting is also available next week. In addition to the statewide races, voters in the city will choose a new mayor, Branch 1 Circuit Court judge, and three school board members. To find your polling place and to see what's on your ballot, go to myvote.wi.gov. Today will feel like spring with highs above normal, topping out in the 60s in many places. Tomorrow, we get a blast of winter as rain, wind, and snow move in. Areas west and north of La Crosse will feel the brunt of it, with whiteout conditions and heavy snow possible from southeastern Minnesota into western and central Wisconsin. La Crosse is expected to be south of the main storm, but a winter storm watch is in effect for counties adjacent to La Crosse. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
More troubles for the Brewers pitchers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Mariners 14-8 in spring training. Brewers starter Tobias Myers is out now with a strained oblique muscle and will likely miss the start of the season. But Pat Murphy says he thinks Abner Uribe could fill that spot. They are also very pleased with the progress Brandon Woodruff is showing coming back from shoulder surgery. NBA, the Bucks begin a five-game road trip out west tonight against the Golden State Warriors, but it will be without center Jericho Sims. He had to have surgery yesterday for a torn ligament in his right thumb. It happened Saturday night against the Pacers. Sims will be out at least a month. The Bucks have lost four of their last six games. Damian Lillard says it's tough to play team offense when opponents get physical.
It's a tough balance. In your mind, you're like, all right, I might have to dominate and try to take over this 4 or 5 minute stretch, and then you don't want to go against, you know, what the team is kind of preaching. So it's definitely a tough balance.
That's Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy and mild today with high temperatures reaching 60 degrees. However, we're still in a high fire danger. So the rain on the way is much needed. It'll move in early tomorrow morning, where we could see some thunderstorms. Winds will also become breezy, and the rain becomes all snow in the evening. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's 46 degrees at our studios. As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
More farm-related programs being canceled. Those affect more than $1 billion in purchasing local food from farmers for food banks.
These types of programs, it gets high-quality food to people who need it at an affordable price. It's a win-win-win, and it's just a really good investment in these rural economies.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, don't miss our weekly climate check report with Melissa Baldoff at 6:30. And at 7:30, our homeroom segment on the value of public schools in our state.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Kevin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Civic Media is growing.
It is.
And we would like for you to join us.
Come on along, friends.
Check out our job openings at civicmedia.us/careers. We're looking for producers. Mm-hmm. Greg, you're a producer.
I am.
Calvin?
That guy's a producer.
Calvin, do you like producing? Especially for this program?
Oh, yes, it is. A dream come true.
End it with
no
to
pressure,
produce for Matt
no
and
pressure,
Aaron.
No pressure involved.
Just working at Civic Media in general, Greg, is a dream come true. But it is a privilege and an honor to produce Matinair on Air.
Well done, Kevin.
All right, I'll pay you later.
Well, yeah. Well, you got your $5. That's yep. Coming. No, seriously. If you're considering, maybe you always thought you'd like to get into radio. Mm-hmm. Maybe you always thought you'd like to try something new. When I first started here, I started as a producer.
Yeah.
For Kristen Bry. I learned a whole new skill set.
Yeah.
Which makes me really happy that someone of my advanced age, you can learn new things.
I'm glad you did that, but I wouldn't say advanced.
But you know what I'm saying? I think we get to a certain point in our lives and it's like, I can't learn that.
But that's just it. Oh, Shane, that's where I want you to give yourself some credit. A lot of people say, I can't do that. And you know what you said? I can do that.
It took a while, but still. And
exactly.
Now I, wherever I go after this. Mm-hmm. I have those skills. I can take them with me.
Exactly.
So check it out. Go to civicmedia.us/careers and take a look. Send in your application. We would love to have you grow with us. Civicmedia.us. Coming up this hour after the 11:30 news, we're going to talk about what hobbies you picked up during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Sourdough starter. That's all I saw. There was lots of bread baking.
There was a lot of bread baking. There was a lot of just very, very intricate crafting happening.
Definitely.
Lots of crafting.
So what did you pick up during the pandemic? Are you still doing it?
Yeah.
Or once it was over, you're like, thank God I don't have to bake bread anymore. And then we will wrap up the show.
I'm gluten intolerant.
We'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, courtesy of Calvin, Butterfly Kisses Edition. Oh, it's so good. Stay tuned for that. I think it's important that we go back 5 years.
Okay.
To the outbreak of the COVID pandemic.
Yeah.
And we would love to hear from you. Where were you when you heard about it? Where mm-hmm. were you when you heard you weren't going back to work? What are your earliest memories when you heard about the COVID pandemic and what was happening in our country? 855 and around the world.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter.
I want to throw one more question in there, and it is, if you had to keep working and not remotely, like my wife, when COVID happened, they were like, stay home. We'll send you computers. We'll do all the things. If you had to go back into the office or go back into your workplace
or the grocery store,
what was that like? I mean, did that push you out of that job? Like, we want to know how it affected you, because I believe the pandemic is over. They've, you know, all the scientists have said we are no longer in that phase anymore, but I do believe it lingers. There's a residue. It's always going to be with us. There's a trauma to the whole thing. And it affected people in so many ways in those first, in that first month to 6 weeks, where we saw just it happen, the country come together, and then the eventual just, I need a haircut.
Yeah.
Into what we have become today.
I need my nails done. Yeah. Okay. 855-752-4842. I'm particularly interested in talking to folks who were deemed essential workers.
Yes.
And that included grocery store employees. They had to go to work.
Yep.
Because people still needed food.
Yep.
And I was lucky because I was deemed an essential worker for the radio station I was working at the time. But they gave us special, we had a special certificate in case we got pulled over by the cops on the way to or from work, saying Jane Matinere is an essential employee. Mm-hmm. She is coming to work at X and, you know, and all that stuff. I never got pulled over, but I carried it with me for at least 2.5 years. From what I recall, and again, I was working in a news department at the time, I can remember sitting around this great big table with a whole bunch of people, and the prevailing belief seemed to be, it's going to be over in 2 weeks.
Well, that was the prevailing belief from even some of the experts. They were talking about the idea that we just need to stay inside, flatten the curve, stop the spread. They had all these great sayings. And they really had convinced most people, like, hey, this it's going to pass. If we just do this little bit of work together, 2 weeks, we'll be good to go. And, of course, I bought it.
Did you really? Really?
It just felt like, you know, I've never seen anything like this before. So the idea that a virus coming through could do that kind of damage was sort of like, well, of course not. This is like a movie. Like this is craziness. It'll be 2 weeks and we'll be done. We'll be back to work and it'll be fine. And it wasn't. It absolutely was not. It was for us with the club. It was, we're closed the rest of March. That was 2 weeks. We're gonna cancel all shows in April. We're gonna cancel shows in May. We're canceling all shows in June. And then we tried to do shows to 12 people
and have them like 6 feet apart and all that
stuff. It was so difficult. The fact that it lasted was amazing. But yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, I thought the experts are saying 2 weeks, then why not 2 weeks?
855-752-4842. We're talking about COVID. It is 5 years ago today, marking 5 years since the World Health Organization declared the global outbreak of COVID-19 to be a pandemic. Since then, millions of Americans have been hospitalized. More than 1.2 million people died. Additionally, millions of adults and children are still dealing with the effects and have been diagnosed with long COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And that is no small thing either.
No.
For folks who have long COVID. And I think news about them has just kind of fallen off the radar.
Well, people who, I mean, honestly, I think people are so tired of talking about it that if you have someone say, I have long COVID, one, they don't know what that means. And two, I feel like people are going to say, okay. Like, it's almost a sympathy get, like you're trying to garner attention.
Yeah. Seth from the Sheboygan area is on the line. Good morning, Seth. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Jane. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. Thanks for calling in, Seth. What do you want to say?
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, I came off a graduate program in school psychology, so I was a school psychologist at a Eastern Shore school district, and all of a sudden the mandate came down to close schools, and I felt helpless. You know, I couldn't test kids. I just was kind of at home, you know, watching nature.
Yeah.
So it was pretty profound, you know, and it was a little bit of a guilt because I still got my paycheck, but I couldn't really fulfill a lot of the duties that I know I had to do.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I think a lot of folks were really frustrated, Seth. And as you say, gosh, I remember watching so many videos. Remember the parades that people would do past people's houses or teachers' houses?
Essential workers, nurses.
Nurses. Remember how we used to applaud at the end of the evening when healthcare workers got off their shifts?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the videos from like New York City where people would be standing on their balconies banging pots and pans to say thank you to these people who eventually were working with wearing garbage bags because there wasn't enough PPE available.
Yeah.
And I think it's important, Calvin, I believe we have a compilation of the then president talking about the COVID-19 pandemic. Let's play that first clip, please, Calvin, from 4 years ago.
A national emergency. Two very big words. We don't want people to take a test if we feel that they shouldn't be doing it. 1.4 million tests on board next week. And 5 million within a month, I doubt we'll need anywhere near that.
Dr. Fauci said earlier this week that the lag in testing was, in fact, a failing. Do you take responsibility for that?
Yeah, no, I don't take responsibility at all.
Of course not.
You said that
not.
You don't take responsibility, but you did disband the White House pandemic office. The officials that worked in that office said that that the White House lost valuable time because that office wasn't disbanded. What do you make of that?
Well, I just think it's a nasty question. Some of the doctors say it will wash through, it will flow through, in interesting terms, and very accurate. I think you're going to find in a number of weeks it's going to be a very accurate term.
Yeah, no.
Didn't.
No.
Didn't flow through, didn't wash through.
None of that happened.
No light helped.
Didn't go away just like that in a couple of weeks, and it's all going to be good. And do you remember, and it's not in that particular clip, but he said at one point he didn't want more people testing because then you would have more cases.
Yes, he loves to do that. He loves to mess with the sources of data. He's doing the same thing with the economy where he says, oh, they're not going to count certain things so it doesn't look like the economy is as bad as it is. No, people need to test so we know how many people are sick.
That's why he didn't want to let the cruise ship land. Remember
yes.
that?
Yep.
He didn't want to have the cruise ship land because that would increase the COVID numbers. So apparently they don't have it if we don't acknowledge it.
Look away.
Which is a pretty amazing magical thinking.
You know what that is? That's just a nice, just a top of the line thinking, run away. Just don't face the problem.
Well, and that's how he did not respond to that very pertinent question about them disbanding this pandemic panel that was in place from the Obama administration. Yeah. That was one of the first things he did when Trump got elected, was he disbanded it. And yet, did he answer the question? No, he insulted the reporter.
Yeah.
That's how he handled it. Troy and Mark, I see you on the line. We're going to continue this conversation. If you would like to join us, 855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
And she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hit. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane says.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A record number of visitors toured America's national parks and monuments last year, including sites here in Wisconsin. More than 331 million people flocked to national parks in 2024. Here in Wisconsin, Apostle Islands and the St. Croix Scenic National Riverway both saw boosts in visitors. It's unclear, though, what the summer travel season will hold this year after the Trump administration fired 1,000 National Parks employees across the country on Valentine's Day. Time to say happy birthday to our state parks. This year, Wisconsin's state park system turns 125. Our oldest park is Interstate Park, located along the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway, established back in 1900. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter right before the break, talking about 5 years ago today, the World Health Organization declared the COVID-19 outbreak to be a global pandemic. So we're talking about those early days, what we remember. I really do think we have a lot of collective amnesia when it comes to those first year of COVID. But we got some great responses coming in that we wanted to share from you.
Cassandra on the live stream said she was a brand new ICU RN in 2020.
Oh my gosh, Cassandra.
And what she goes on to say right here hits you directly where you live in the heart here. I saw way too much death in the early time as a nurse, and I cannot tolerate people that deny it was severe. I'm with you, Cassandra. To this, last year I heard a young man, he couldn't have been more than 22 years old, his roommate had COVID, and he goes, he's not COVID, it's just a bad cold. And I wanted to take him by the scruff and be like, what are you even talking about? Do you understand what this means?
Do we remember the refrigerated trucks outside of hospitals? Do we remember hospitals running out of PPE equipment? Do we remember people having to say goodbye to their loved ones on FaceTime? People drowning in their own lungs?
Yeah. I'm not a doctor, and I'm not a nurse. I don't work in a doctor's office. I'm not a medical professional. But I know we have cold and flu season. Jane, can you tell me the last time cold and flu season happened where they had to back up meat trucks to put dead bodies in there? I don't think that's happened in a very long time.
I'm fairly certain it hasn't. If you would like to join us, 855-752-4842. Troy from Mount Horeb, thank you for your patience. Troy, what'd you want to say?
Yeah, I was delivering soda at the time. So I always told people I'm essential because people need something to mix with their whiskey.
Not wrong, Troy.
No, not at, but going into stores was scary.
Yeah. Yes.
And I ended up catching it. And it wasn't bad because I was way up on. In fact, they had somebody come in and vaccinate us at work.
Yeah. Did you, Troy, have any coworkers who were like, I'm not doing that?
Oh, yeah. There were a few. And they didn't make them.
Yeah.
They should have, but they didn't make them. But, it was weird with me with the COVID because I'm stuffy every morning anyway. Yeah. So in the afternoon, you know, usually that wears off by noon. And in the afternoon, I was still stuffy and my eyes were watering. And I'm like, yeah, I think this is something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
This so is... I went home, I tested myself and I had it. But,
well, we're glad you're still here with us, Troy. Very much appreciated. 855-752-4842. Robert from McFarland listening in Madison on WMDX. I work with adults with developmental and physical disabilities. My nonprofit made the rule that we could not leave their homes except for walks. Staff were quitting left and right. I was working 80 to 90 hour weeks. The only food I had time to get was some pizza because all the grocery stores closed at 9 when I was getting done. The Beltline in Madison looked like the Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. I got into the habit of driving over 70 at that time. Robert, it was extremely difficult, but this is serious. It was extremely difficult because my clients didn't understand what a pandemic was. Yeah. And during that time, I felt like I was really failing my clients.
I remember, and by the way, I was laughing at the scolding.
I know.
I remember the first time I had to drive. I drove to my mom's house. We had settled it. Like, we were staying safe. I had to deliver something. Driving on the freeway for the first time was so eerie.
It was.
And I felt guilty.
It was like being in a disaster movie.
Yeah, exactly.
855-752-4842. Brian from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Brian. Thanks for joining us. Mark, I'll get to you next.
Good morning. Yeah, you know, working with COVID, I was in the pharmacy at the time. And, yeah, as you say, it was eerie because I would have to take the bus to work. And granted, I had a, you know, piece of paper that says I was an essential worker.
Yep.
But, like, the first time that I left work, you know, right after the pandemic started and there was the stay-at-home orders, it was so freaky, like, so dead.
Yeah.
Even in the grocery store, it was just, you know, because I worked for a retail chain, it was just so dead. You know, and the thing I didn't understand, though, that I really – kind of had a beef with was how many people would come into the grocery store with their whole family.
Oh, like, my God.
You don't need the mom, the dad, and six kids.
Oh, my.
To pick up potato chips.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and the way that people took masking, like, this was the biggest sacrifice they have ever been asked to make in their lives. Still blows my mind.
Yeah.
It does. Thank you so much, Brian. Really appreciate it. Mark, right before we get to you, Calvin, we have one more clip from the then president who presided over the outbreak of COVID. Let's talk about it's all going to go away.
It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
No.
I can remember him sitting in the Oval Office saying it's all going to be open by Easter. And won't that be an Easter miracle?
The warmth will kill it.
Warm weather will kill it. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you get the last word. Thank you for your patience, Mark.
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, I remember COVID hitting halfway into my chemotherapy in 2020. They canceled, I was supposed to do the Stephanie Miller show on March 23rd, I think it was, and that got canceled because of COVID. And I was, you know, a little down because I didn't know if I was going to be making it for, you know, that because of the cancer that I had, and that fortunately I'm still here. But I remember the shortage of the PPEs and that, and being alone in the, you know, when I go for treatment, when COVID hit, you went from having other people to talk to when you get your chemo to being there all by yourself.
Boy, that must have been, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine, Mark. And I'm so glad you're still with us. Thanks for the call. We have a number of texts that we're going to get to on the other side. We have news coming up next. And then we would also love to know, it was 2 years that we were essentially locked down, pretty much. What did you pick up during that time? My sister just texted me. A skill that she picked up during lockdowns. So we'll kick that around next. Yeah. 855-752-4842 if you want to join us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to fly.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm Jimmy Cuska for 1490 WLCX. La Crosse Democrats held a membership drive on Monday, highlighted by guest speakers Jill Underly, who is running once again for state superintendent, and David Crowley, Milwaukee County executive. Recently announced congressional candidate Rebecca Cook also appeared. La Crosse mayoral candidate Shondell Washington Spivey was endorsed by the Democratic Party at the event as well. Washington Spivey faces La Crosse City Council President Chris Kahlo in the Tuesday, April 1st spring election. Two city committees meet today. The Redevelopment Authority will consider adding a property as part of the River Point District. The La Crosse Center Board will receive several updates on its operations this evening as well, including a final 2024 report. The Board of Park Commissioners and Police and Fire Commission will meet Thursday. Meanwhile, Thursday's La Crosse County Board meeting has a light agenda. It will consider changes to three finance-related ordinances, among a handful of other items. The USDA has ended programs that serve fresh produce to food pantries and schools. With more, here's Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz.
The agency announced last week it was ending the local food purchase assistance and the local food for schools programs. That's part of cuts initiated by billionaire Elon Musk and President Trump. Over 280 farms and 250 food pantries in Wisconsin took part in the LFPA program in 2023 and 2024, with $4.2 million in food distributed to food pantries. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction got $3.4 million for the school fund program.
USDA officials said the programs were intended to only be pandemic relief. There weren't any area teams that advanced to the state high school girls basketball championships this past weekend in Green Bay. Durand, Arkansas lost in the semifinals. In boys basketball, Aquinas and Cochran Fountain City made it to the state tournament this week in Madison, with Aquinas playing Thursday night and Cochran Fountain City playing Friday morning. The boys basketball state championships are being played at the Kohl Center in Madison this week. Title games are on Saturday.
For 1490 WLCX and LaCrosseEagle.com, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The late Gene Hackman did not mention his three children in his will, but they might still end up with some of his $80 million worth of assets. Hackman and his wife, Betsy Arakawa, passed away in late February under mysterious circumstances. Late last week, it was disclosed that Arakawa passed away from the hantavirus a week before her Oscar-winning husband. Authorities say Hackman suffered from Alzheimer's disease and couldn't take care of himself after his wife died, and as a result, passed away a week later. In Betsy's will, it was stated that she left her estate to various charities. Hackman, however, named Betsy as the recipient of his assets, essentially leaving his three now middle-aged children out in the cold, or so it would seem. As it turns out, due to Betsy's death, Hackman has no secondary beneficiaries, so it looks like his kids will be the recipient of their father's $80 million fortune after all. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlife with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy and mild today with high temperatures reaching 60 degrees. However, we're still in a high fire danger. So the rain on the way is much needed. It'll move in early tomorrow morning, where we could see some thunderstorms. Winds will also become breezy and the rain becomes all snow in the evening. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 48.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, LoveLost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at LoveLost.com.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, 617,000 Wisconsin food insecure residents targeted by DOGE. Plus, which voting bloc will be most impacted by the trade war retaliation? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Brewers spring training continues. Crew taking on the Giants this Friday, 3 p.m. Catch the game on several of our Civic Media Brewers affiliates, including WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, and WBZH in Hayward. The Crew and the Giants this Friday with our coverage starting at 3 p.m. Before the break, we were talking about today is the five-year anniversary that the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a global pandemic. Talking about your memories of those early days of the pandemic. And we did have a couple of texts that I really wanted to get to as well. Catherine listening in Madison on WMDX, Lakeshore Drive in Chicago became the Autobahn because there were so few people around. It's let's just speed. Who's going to stop me?
No. And if you've ever been to Chicago, they drive fast enough as it is.
Yeah, it's almost like the Autobahn anyway. Yeah. Tony the trucker, Jane, I've been a semi driver for 50 years. The past 21 driving for a grocery distributor, we were considered essential. Mm-hmm. Our hours of service were exempted. We were working 80 plus hours a week. What bothered me was the way people denied and defied what the CDC was saying. People at stores were mad at me that I was masked. Eventually, I did get COVID. Thankfully, it was mild. The misinformation really made me angry. Absolutely. I completely agree with you, Tony. And unfortunately, some of that misinformation was coming directly from the White House.
Yep.
It did.
Yep.
He refused to wear a mask. The president of the United States would not mask up.
He tried to suggest help. He tried to suggest cures, anything that wasn't or saying we need to wait for the vaccine. Just wait for the vaccine. There was light. There was bleach. There was horse dewormer. Never anything. And then when the vaccine happened, you better thank me because I'm the one who got it done.
Oh, yeah. Another texter listening on WAUK in Waukesha. I'm a mail carrier. Working was like having Christmas every day during COVID because of all of the extra packages.
Yeah.
It was scary. I prayed I wouldn't catch it and bring it home. I live with high-risk relatives.
Yeah.
Carol from Waukesha on WAUK. Driving on the freeway was so strange. We had several at-risk family members, so I would grocery shop for three extra people and make individual drop-offs so they didn't have to go out in public. And finally, Mark texting in, whenever I see someone in scrubs or hospital ID, I thank them. I thank my pharmacists and any frontline workers. They were exposed constantly.
Absolutely.
Yes, they were. 855-752-4842. And I'd love to know as well, people were home for a long period of time.
Yes, sir.
Did you pick up any hobbies?
Yeah.
What did you do with your time at home and away from work? Again, at 855-752-4842. Cornell from Merrill is calling in. Good morning, Cornell. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for the call. I read an article back in 2019. I studied this COVID. I was locked down. And in 2019, there was an article that the military warned Trump that he has to move on this COVID. And he admitted that back in January 2020 that he didn't want to move on COVID because he didn't want to disrupt the economy.
He didn't want to scare the markets.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yes, right. And also, a doctor said you should get vaccinated because if the COVID gets into your lungs, it'll mass produce hundreds of baby COVID. And, it's just quite deadly. And I just wanted to mention that if people don't understand COVID, you're talking about movies. A good movie to watch is Contagious by Paltrow and Winslet. And another movie is Outbreak. Contagious movie is very good.
Thank you, Cornell. I appreciate it. Outbreak is an older movie. That's a considerably older movie with Dustin Hoffman. But it gives a really good visual representation of how things that are airborne can spread.
Yeah.
One person coughs on a plane, and that all goes through the air filtration system and spreads it around,
mm-hmm.
essentially. 855-752-4842. And also Bob Woodward, the author Bob Woodward, shared this after the fact, but Trump told him that he knew that it was highly contagious, and he didn't want to say that publicly, just as he said, because he didn't want to upset the markets, because he didn't want the markets to crash.
And didn't that come out in a book recently,
yes,
too?
But that came out in the book later, but he told Woodward that early on in the pandemic.
And I think Woodward took a lot of flack saying, why didn't you say this years ago?
Would have been nice.
Because I want to put it in a book.
Yeah, would have been nice. Ollie from the Northwoods joining us on the line. Good morning, Ollie. What did you want to say?
Well, I'm not an essential worker, but there was a huge number of us who had health care concerns and basically were in jail in our own homes, mm-hmm, and missed the opportunity to be with my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids, even to this day, because of health issues. I wear a mask when I go out.
Yeah.
I've only been shopping maybe 3 or 4 times since the start of the pandemic, because it is a concern, and it's not gone away. And for Mr. Trump to get up and poo-poo it, even when he told his own son, it came out in Woodward's book, that he told his own son that it was real. And yet he lied to the people of the United States. He was supposed to be our leader,
yep,
and he did not lead.
Yep. Thank you, Ollie. I appreciate that, and that's really well said. No, he did not lead. And going back to all of the false cures, the horse dewormer, all of that stuff, I did more news stories because I was part of a news department at that time. I did more news stories trying to convince people not to take things that will hurt them.
Yeah. I mean, the
poison control, veterinarians, I can give you a list of all the experts that I talked to that, no, you can't take horse dewormer to fight COVID. Here's why that doesn't work.
I was shopping at a farm in Fleet years ago, and this is not a joke. This is for real. Where they sold the ivermectin, they had a sign saying you had to provide a picture of you and the horse you owned to buy ivermectin, because people were buying this stuff for COVID when people actually needed it for their horses.
Did you start a hobby?
Yeah.
During COVID? Are you still baking sourdough bread? Are you still bragging about your starter? I'm curious. My sister heard us and texted in. She says, I learned how to make brandy old fashions during COVID. I bought my first muddler after watching Charlie Barron's. What a skill. Isn't that when he really took off? Was during COVID?
No, it was before. He was already well known in Wisconsin before COVID, but then
He really took off, though.
But honestly, I'm not even kidding you. In the past year, it's gone into the stratosphere. I mean, like, headlining all over the country, sold out shows, seeing, we could talk about this for hours. But yeah, I mean, he has his own brandy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So. But I remember when my sister, Suzanne, and she showed me that video about it was having the floater.
Yeah.
I just remember the floater in the old-fashioned.
Yeah.
And so what skill did you pick up? What did you learn? What are you still doing that you picked up during COVID? 855-752-4842.
Angie from Monroe says, chickens. I started getting into them. Now I'm up to 50 and I sell them at $3 or they go to the food pantry.
Oh, good for you, Angie.
Yeah, I mean, that's very, very cool.
And you know, Angie, at some point, I would love to have you back on the show to talk about raising chickens, because that was a suggestion by a Trump administration official that Americans, we should all just be raising our own chickens, apparently.
Yeah, why are you a sucker and paying a lot of money for eggs? Get yourself a chicken.
I would love to find out about some of the finer details of raising chickens, because I think the assumption is it's just so easy. There's nothing to worry about. They kind of raise themselves, and I don't think that's true.
I think it's an I believe it's expensive to get into because
you need a coop.
You need coop, you need materials.
Feed and yeah. all those things.
Shizu on the live stream said, I took a national Zoom class from an astrophysicist about world building and writing, and later I went down a rabbit hole of studying different aspects of Chinese metaphysics. My goodness, well, that's cool.
You put us all to shame.
I just built some Lego sets. Wow, okay, cool deal.
I became obsessed with dog mushers.
Like the Iditarod?
Like the Iditarod.
Yeah, my friend does that.
For some reason, this woman showed up on my timeline,
yep.
and I would spend hours and hours and hours just following her,
yeah.
and then eventually into the race. This was after COVID had lessened, and they allowed that back. But yeah, that's kind of what I got into big time, because again, I was still working. I was considered essential. Yeah.
I mean, I was at home. I worked at a barber shop at the time, and then the club was closed. And so those first few days were just weird. You'd walk out of the bedroom and be like, so what do we do now? I guess we just watch a lot of television. And then my friend said, hey, do you want to get on Instagram Live and just the two of us build Lego sets? And I'm not kidding you. By the end of it, within a year, I built 40 sets.
Holy mackerel.
From like, 300 piecers to the Bond car or the White House. And I built.
Impressive.
I built a lot of Lego sets.
I bet you were not alone.
No.
Didn't. Puzzles also run out.
Puzzles went up in popularity. Lego went up in popularity. I mean, it's just
probably just board games.
Board games. I mean, it's very, very like the puzzle one too. Yeah, people were getting crazy for puzzles.
What did you pick up during the pandemic that you still do today? Maybe you're not making sourdough bread anymore. That's fine.
I think Jane just wants you to bring her bread.
That would be nice. Text her on WMDX. I was making my own edibles. Fair enough.
Cops, get in here. We got him.
Fair enough.
That's
hilarious.
Mark is saying horse dewormer is for worms. Antibiotics are for bacteria. Anti-parasite drugs are for parasites. Only antivirals work on viruses. Very true. And I'm not even a doctor, and I pretty much knew that. But yeah, the Lego set was, because honestly, I just watched TV. I should have done more. Looking back now, I should have practiced guitar more.
Picked up an instrument.
I mean, yeah, like I just had all this time.
Calligraphy.
I'm looking back now. I'm like, people started multi-million-dollar businesses out of their homes because like I lost my job and I really like stitching. So I started an Etsy page and, they're selling 5 things a month and then 10 things. And then they go on social media and social media changed that landscape
it
for
really
a
did.
Lot of people.
Yeah, it really did. Sally is on the line. Real quickly, Sal, we don't have a whole lot of time. Thank you for joining us. Oh, it's Whizler.
Whizler,
good morning. What do you want to say quickly? And your hat's on the way, by the way.
Sports cards. Collectible sports cards.
Oh.
That's what I did. I added to my collection during that time.
Fair enough.
Nice.
Football, basketball.
Cool. Appreciate it, Whizler. Thanks for checking in.
Yeah. We appreciate everyone texting, calling today. I should have practiced more guitar.
Sarah from Green Bay says diamond art.
Diamond dotting.
Diamond dotting.
Is that bedazzling?
It's not. It's more about making a piece of artwork with little rhinestones.
Oh, I was going to say, my friend got into dotting art where she would like just take a fine pen and dot and would make these beautiful
amazing
pieces. And I'm just like, God, I am not talented.
You made Lego.
I looked at a book and followed instructions.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. It was really very interesting. And I think it's important. Let's not forget.
No.
Let's not forget.
Please don't.
Where we were 5 years ago. We're going to light it up when we come back. This shouldn't be a thing. Today, the Butterfly Kisses edition. You'll want to hear it. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Utah adopted universal mail-in voting in 2013, with no widespread misuse in its 12 years. March 6th, the GOP-dominated Utah legislature approved an amended bill to end it in 2029, despite 76% of state voters supporting it. HB 300 was even more draconian just weeks ago, requiring voters to return their ballot in person so ID could be shown. Such a move would have ended the convenience voters like about mail-in voting and created a burden for rural and Native American voters who might live hours from a polling place. The Utah News-Dispatch reports that the amended bill phases out universal mail-in voting in 2029 rather than immediately. But in the interim, voters must obtain a state-issued voting ID by 2026 and provide four digits from that ID with signature matching as a backup. The voter ID would be free only to those proving they can't afford it. In 2029, voters can opt in to a semi-permanent 8-year vote-by-mail list, and election officials would rely only on the voting ID number for identification. Voters could opt in at the DMV, polling places, or the state's voter portal. The bill also extends the ballot return deadline to 8 p.m. on Election Day. Governor Spencer Cox is likely to sign it. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Alba Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look at Mexico has a president. You know, Margaret Thatcher. Had, I know. You know, it's just all over the world. I mean,
you have to remember Margaret Thatcher. They had queens.
And well, I mean, we have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, President Young Person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. This is actually my vacation eve.
Okay.
I'll be gone Thursday, Friday, and then on Monday, I'm taking a little trip to go see a friend.
Nice.
Out of town. But Greg and Calvin will be here to hold things down. And coming up on the show on tomorrow, which I think should be really interesting, they recently discovered a shipwreck in Lake Superior.
Yeah.
132 years old.
Is it that boat that those people left and went back to New Jersey?
It is not. Different boat.
Sorry.
Much bigger. Much bigger. It's called the Western Reserve.
Oh.
And Lake Superior sure keeps her secrets, man. That boat's been down there a long time. But we're going to find out more about the Western Venture tomorrow morning, coming up with Corey Adkins. Will be joining us around 11:30, so I hope you can stick around for that. Right now, 11:53, Calvin, that means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. The headline today reads... Men are now trimming their eyelashes to appear less feminine, and it's a big yikes.
Yeah.
The byline from Ko Miszewski says a new trend claims that toxic masculine men are now trimming their eyelashes to be less feminine, and people are horrified. Manly men who wouldn't be caught dead with lashes are now getting them shaved or trimmed off. Trending TikTok videos show various alpha males, I assume, sitting in a barber's chair with their eyelashes getting trimmed off. It is baffling the internet. Let us remind ourselves, this is an important point. Eyelashes actually serve a purpose.
Yes.
As a protective barrier for our eyes to help keep out debris and dust and other small things floating around in the air. They serve a purpose. A video featuring a guy getting his eyelashes trimmed off.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah.
Has gotten over 36 million views. Not a rare scenario. The account posted another video showing another guy with his lashes getting shortened to try and look more manly. Captions read, "No, they're not doing this so their eyelashes will grow thicker and stronger. They're doing this because of toxic masculinity, thinking they look tougher with their eyelashes shaved off."
In all the movies, all the TV shows, all the personal interactions I've ever had in my life, I've never heard a single woman say his eyelashes make him look like a woman. In fact, it's the opposite.
Yes.
I've seen women say, "I'm jealous of his eyelashes."
Yes.
And I used to be a barber, and I'm going to do a little play. It's going to take very much. You be the customer and say, "I'll be the barber, you be the customer, and tell me what you want.
I want you to trim off my eyelashes, Mr. Bach."
"No, thank you. Have a good day. Goodbye." That's it. I would never do that as a responsible barber. I know they're doing it. I know they're probably getting paid. And I hope they're charging a ton. But that to me is just so irresponsible.
Well, and as you pointed out, ladies, I'm sure will agree with me. Like you just said, if we see a guy with Bambi eyelashes, that is a magnet, baby. It's like, oh my gosh, your eyes, they're so gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Yeah, every man hates hearing how beautiful his eyes are.
That is one of the nicest compliments. I remember when I worked at a bank and one guy came, his name is Dan, and all the girls would swoon. Like, his eyelashes, he's so pretty. I'm like, really? That's what's pretty now? Here I am trying to, like, you know, stay under a certain weight and trying to be cool, and you're like, eyelashes, well, great.
Good to know.
Oh, awesome.
I just, for all the guys, if you are inclined to do this,
don't.
Save them. Because there are women who will take them and glue them onto their own eyelids.
If you are asking this question, do not ask your best friend. He does not care about you. Ask an adult. Ask a doctor. Talk to a doctor.
Talk to a doctor.
Talk to a doctor before you do this and tell them this is something you want to do. Because, once again, they will grow back. You have to go right back to the barbershop. This is... Just don't do it.
Yeah, just don't do it.
Don't.
Butterfly Kisses Edition. Yeah, no. That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
We have news coming up next, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn 2 to 4, Dom Salvia 4 to 6, and then Pete Schwabba 6 to 8 p.m., Mike Clemens, Civic Media News, sports reporter, going to be joining us, joining him rather, to talk a little March Madness.
Nice.
Tomorrow morning, it's Pat Kreitlow early from Up North News Radio 6 to 8, and then Earl Ingram right before us from 8 to 10 a.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you, most of all, for calling and texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it, even if it's just a little bit. Keep it right here on the vast Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
Listening to the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by Mini Timuraju, the CEO of Reproductive Freedom for All. We talk about the importance of the Supreme Court race that's heating up. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
What do you think about Donald Trump firing 80,000 employees of the VA? Steve from Madison, also a veteran. I'm hearing from one of our conservative texters saying it's okay because it saves money.
How does it save money if it kills people? I mean, how many suicides are there amongst veterans? How many of our seniors need health care? I mean, you take away money from us and it kills us. That's what it does.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and wildfires still a threat in Oklahoma and parts of the Southwest and Midwest today. At least four people died in Oklahoma. And tornado outbreaks over this weekend, blamed for killing more than three dozen. New storms on the horizon, including a blizzard, are in the mix this week. ABC's Ginger Z has more.
We know there's a lot of wind from Las Vegas to Houston up to Kansas City, but on top of it, you have snow. And when you mix a 60-mile-per-hour wind with the snow, even if it's just 3 inches, you get blizzard conditions. That's why there are blizzard warnings from parts of Kansas and Nebraska right up through Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
President Trump and Russia's President Vladimir Putin holding a critical call right now. The U.S. working to get Russia's leader to agree to a 30-day ceasefire with Ukraine. Ukraine's already agreed to that deal. Israeli forces carrying out massive airstrikes today in Gaza. It ends the 2-month ceasefire and killed hundreds. This is ABC News.